about hearing from God. And I believe, and I'm being taught this, I guess in my life, but lately, that if we're true believers in Christ, that everything that we do, whether it's professionally, personally, financially, physically, health-wise, whatever, everything that we do should be a reflection of what God's doing. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, I always think about farming and stuff like that, but everything that I do, whether my equipment breakdowns, things working good, with relationships with people, it's all centered around Christ. It has to be. So that's the first thing. So I guess if we want to hear God, then we need to open our ears up. And every circumstance that we go through is directly related to Him. He's in charge of everything, not, you know, just this part of it, everything. And the second thing, I heard this morning on the 52nd thing on Air One with Louis Giglio, and he was saying that we have to get out of our little circle of comfort. And I mean, like, this is a comfort place for us, I think. But he said, when we're out in the community, when we're at Walmart, if we're playing golf, I don't do that, but some of you guys and girls might play golf. If you're doing those things, don't conform to the group you're with. Because otherwise, you're not going to show Christ. So wherever you go, they have to see Christ in you. So if you're playing softball with the boys, you have to reflect Christ. You can't be like them. The only way they're going to see Christ is through us. So those two little things hit me today. So, you know, again, be thinking about every aspect of your life is centered around Christ. And everywhere you go, you have to be a light. Lord, we lift up Malcolm to you. We thank you for his obedience, and we know that bringing the word is a joy, but it's also a bit of a burden, because we know that attacks come our way as we bring the word of God to the body and to the fellow believers. So be with Malcolm today, and not only work in his heart to speak the words that you have for us, but work in our hearts to hear what he's saying. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. If you would open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes a few different places. So, at the beginning of this. The message is such that you've heard this before. You've heard some of this recently. I think you've probably heard all of this recently. And it's woven in a different kind of way. But the message is pretty much being reiterated again, it seems. I thought when the Lord was speaking this to me just been doing this. So, you know, I've mentioned a number of things here, at least the theme of this, over and over again over the past month or so. So, but I got to do what he tells me to do. So there must be something there that we can grab a hold of even more. Are you guys all ready to hear?
Yes.
You know,
sponges.
We want to get what God wants us to get out of this. You know, so we got to get our minds and focus under control. It's good to be in control of your mind and your heart, and take things under subjection and say, I'm going to get something from God this morning. Amen?
Amen.
So hopefully we'll do that. I'm naive enough to believe that he can do that. You know, like a little child.
Yeah.
He can do that. And if I direct myself in his direction, he can do that. All right? So, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I was excited by that song. I was writing some of the different songs down as we were saying them. Part of the song, I think it was the first or maybe the second, I can't remember now. One of the verses was, "I know my God is near." Mm-hmm. Come on, excited about that? Do you believe that? You know, when you hear those words and you connect with those words, and you go, yeah, he is near. Mm-hmm. And I should be excited about that. He really is near. You know, but there's a blasé thing that, or unbelief. I mean, we believe, but Lord, help our unbelief. Right. Yes. God is near, and he's right here in our midst. Amen. Isn't he? Wherever two or three are gathered, there he is in our midst. I mean, how much do you believe that? How much do you connect with that and say, yeah, that's really true? I'm going to take this as a little child. I'm gonna take it because Jesus said it, the Word says it, and I'm gonna grab and take a hold of everything that I can get out today from Jesus. Amen? And He's near. And that's an exciting thing. And we sang the Revelation song, you know. If there's anything that we're looking for, it's to be with Him. If you're a Christian, isn't that right? Now, you might have all kinds of different things you want to do in this life and all of that, and there's nothing wrong with any of that because we have to do business until He comes. But one thing that should be set out in front of us all the time is the fact that we are at one point in our life going to actually be taken up to be with Him and forever be with Him. Yes. And that's going to be a grand, grand moment.
Right.
You know? And, yeah. I mean, that first time when we actually... When you think about this, you're going to see Jesus face to face. You are. It isn't a concept. It's going to be a reality. And if you dwell on that a little bit, it really can minister everything that you need, really, for yourself in this life. Now, we know we've been talking about how, you know, we're in a time of trouble. And we know that this is part of what it's going to be like right before the coming of the Lord. You know, the day of the Lord is darkness and gloominess, it says in the Word. We're not tiptoeing through the tulips into the kingdom. There is adversity. There is trouble that is going to come on this earth. The scripture says that whatever can be shaken will be shaken. God's going to do that. He needs to do that. Because if there isn't a shaking, people are going to just go on living just the way they live without feeling like God really cares how they choose what they do in this life. He's given plenty of time. But God says there's going to come a time where certain things are going to start to change. He's going to now deal with the world and initially with the church. Judgment begins in the house of God, right? So these things are not just theological concepts. And I think we're going to be shaken to the point that we're going to see this is a reality. Those words aren't just words on a page. This is what you and I are walking it out. This is what we're going to be involved in more and more. And we want to be people who can run with the horses and not get fatigued walking beside the footman. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, do you? Do you? So it's a serious thing. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's exciting and it's challenging. And thank God that He gives us the grace to be able to accomplish these things. He's looking for a people that can be excited about all of this. You know? Excited about problems. How about that? All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to start in, we're going to read three verses, 12, 13, and 14. And it says this. Wisdom is a defense. And money is a defense. How about that? Wisdom can protect you. Money can protect you. You realize that? Because you can buy things that you need to get through life. Right? You can buy things that help to protect you. You buy the food that you need. You buy protection through all different kinds of means. Right? But it says, wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. And then it says this, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. So, people might rely on their own abilities, on their own money to buy things that they need. And that's okay, it is a defense. But what's the most important thing that God looks at? Wisdom. Wisdom. For us to understand Him and what's going on in this life and be able to be connected with Him in such a way that we'll have His wisdom to deal with the things of this life. You've heard this before, I know. Verse 13 says, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which He hath made crooked? Right? Whatever He does, that's what's going to happen. And if He says He's going to shake everything that can be shaken, there's no way that you're going to avoid that. How about that? There's no way that you and I can make something straight that He's made crooked. Or that we can make crooked that He's made straight. We can't do it. We don't have the power to do that. And then verse 14 says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. America, as a nation, we've had a long period of prosperity in this nation, haven't we? Things aren't quite like that now. This is what it says. But in the day of adversity, consider. Consider God. In other words, consider the work of God. What He's done. Consider where He puts His emphasis. His emphasis is on wisdom and knowledge and connecting with Him. Isn't that right? You know, the scripture says that a prudent man, and prudent you can connect with wisdom, a prudent person foresees evil coming and he hides himself. He finds a way to escape that. The foolish, they don't really consider what's going on in the world. They just are interested in themselves and their little life and, you know, playing on their phones. You know? So focused here. Is everybody seeing where I'm looking? So focused here, that they don't see what's going on out here. And it's what's out around you that can destroy you. And the Bible says that that can happen. You're so focused on yourself and what you want. And how things need to come to you. That you don't see the grand picture of things. That you don't even understand you're at the end of the age. You can't see that what's going on in this world is bringing this world to destruction. Nobody wants to think about that. I mean, I don't want to think about it. But it's there. And if you see it, if you see all these things that are happening in this world, you need to be prudent and say, how am I going to handle living in a time of adversity? Ecclesiastes 1, you don't have to go to it. Ecclesiastes 1 says, there's a time for everything under the heaven.
You know? There's a time for peace and there's a time for war. There's a time for love and there's a time for hate. There's a time when everything goes right for you and there's a time when it doesn't go right with you. Right? And you can look at all that list there in Ecclesiastes. Oh no, it's three. Yeah, did I say three? Ecclesiastes 3:1. One of the things that it says in verse 5, it says, there's a time to throw out stones and there's a time to gather stones. Now I want to say this, because this is the emphasis of where the direction for the message. Because if we're going to live in times of adversity, I mean, there's a time for everything. There's a time where we're going to have to live through adversity. Our country did back in the 1930s through the Depression, right? If we're going to need to live through some adversity, then we want to be ready for that, don't we? And this is going to be one of the key things that I want to talk about. I want to go back and just make sure that I'm going to give you two scriptures. You don't have to turn to it. Psalm 9:9 and Psalm 59:16 says, "The Lord is a refuge in the time of trouble." Now that we have to understand that. Anything that we do, any kind of finances we have, any kind of wisdom that we have, if we're not asking God for it, if we're not reaching into God and He be our refuge, then it's just a matter of us trying to do things on our own, and that's not gonna last, and that's not gonna work. But people that trust in God, yeah. You trust in God. Have you found that there are in little ways times where you're not trusting Him? Yeah. You know, when you're fearful, you're not trusting Him. When you're stubborn, you're not trusting Him. I could go on there, but I won't. So, this is very, very important. So, anything that I say after this, it's predicated on the idea that this is done by seeking God, being humble before God, trusting God, understanding that He is God and that He must do what He needs to do. He has to shake anything that can be shaken. You know, when you're a father and your child does something wrong, sometimes you talk to the child and you let the child find out on his own or her own that that's not a good thing, that there's, you know, these consequences happen. And then after a while, you notice that you being nice isn't working. And so you have to step up the ante a little bit with the kid, right? And now something stronger has to happen. That is what's happening in the world right now. You know that. God is stepping up the ante to shake people, to get them to actually understand who He is, that He loves them, He wants them to have a relationship with Him. And that this isn't some religious mumbo-jumbo. That He is real. That He wants to have a relationship. That the only way to that is through Jesus Christ. It's all written right there. He gave it to the prophets. He gave it to the people to write this thing down. We know this is true. Amen. So,
I guess I'll get right to the thing. So,
we know that God has to be our refuge, but that's part of it. There's something more to how we live during adverse times than just that kind of concept. That is going to be what feeds us, but we need to be aware of something else.
And that is in Ecclesiastes, I think I mentioned it, Ecclesiastes 3:5 says, there's a time to cast away stones and there's a time to gather stones together. Now, you and I
are living stones, aren't they? And I believe that God is specifically saying to the church, to the individual members of the church, that more than we know, more than we realize right now, we are going to need to be gathered together more so. I don't mean coming here necessarily, but we need to be together. So, when you and I come together, we worship together. Do you find sometimes, you want to worship the Lord, but you're not quite there?
Yeah.
And you're struggling a little bit, making a connection, and then somebody says something, or you hear their voice, and they're connecting with God, and it does something for you. Mm-hmm. Have you found that to be true?
Yes.
Have you come in just talking with people and something that somebody says quickens something in you, strengthens something in you? See, we need each other. We need to be gathered together. We can't walk this walk with God all by ourselves. We're responsible individually to the Lord. But God has set it up so that we will need one another. We were talking last night about the fact that, we all don't have all the gifts. You know that? And there's qualities in every single person here that what they say or how they are makes a difference for what it can do to you. Melinda was up here this morning and she got all excited about that one song. I mean, doesn't it just kind of lift you up when you see her excitement for the things of God? I mean, and any one of you, I've been blessed by what I've seen in every single one of you. I'm blessed during worship or during a message or during some other part of the service, people get blessed and they have tears in their eyes. Doesn't that just lift you up and encourages you and you know that God is here and God is working? You know? We all need that. And that's why it's important not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I want to just read some scripture. I'm not going to not really take too much more of your time here, but I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I think all of you know this. Ecclesiastes 4. I'm going to read 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one. It's just that simple. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. In other words, you get some help. Two are better than one. It's good to have somebody else around.
Yes.
Unless it's 5 o'clock in the morning and you want some time away from your husband and he wakes up and he gets sent back to bed. Certain people need that private time in the morning. And that's okay. But
that's still true.
So, but there is a thing here that God is saying to us, and I think this is getting to the heart of it. Two is better than one. Verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Don't we need that?
Yes. Yes.
See, we're not all big, macho, Christian, everything we do is right, and we don't need anybody else. And lots of churches, people have to put on they're strong, and they pretend that they're so spiritual, and that they're so whatever, and they're hurting inside, and they're not strong inside. There's not one single person here in yourself that you're strong and you don't need somebody else. Do you know that? You're missing something. And God so composes the body for that to be so. He doesn't want you off by yourself, just me and Jesus. That is not part of the gospel. You know, we need one another. And as the day of adversity continues to come upon us, we are going to need one another more. We are.
Yes.
We just need to get used to that fact. We need to embrace that fact. And learn how to reach out to people that we haven't reached out to well, so that we get to know everybody better. Don't we tend to go to certain people lots of times? You know?
More than others.
And then it says this. In that second half of verse 10. It says, but woe to him that is alone when he falls. I hate to be alone when I'm afraid. I hate to be alone when I don't know what to do about something. Don't we need one another's advice a lot of times? You know? Steve was telling me about how he was having some problems with some machinery or something, and Bob came to the door. Perfect timing. Steve was kind of, you know, geez, I really need some help. I don't know what I'm going to do here. He was down a little bit about it. Bob comes along, and together they got it figured out. Woe to them that are alone when they fall. We don't want to tell people that we need help. You know? Isn't that true?
Yes.
I'm just going to say that I think it's going to be important for us, you know, to step out a little more and be asking people for prayer, looking for help. Go talk to somebody if you know they know more than you do about something. Yeah.
That's a two-way street.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Because when I needed some help, I didn't have to ask nobody. These same people came and helped me all on their own.
Yep.
All out of their heart. And I love them, Bob.
Yep. Thank you, Bob. Verse 11 says, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? You ever go out camping, you know, and if you're up, what's everybody laughing about? It's nice to have someone to snuggle with. You stay warmer, right? Everybody can relate to that one, I think. And then verse 12 says this, and if one prevail against him, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. The things that are happening in this world, and especially what's going on with adversity against the Christian church these days in this country, we need to stand together. We need not to be people that denomination or this other denomination. We need to understand we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? We need to stand together. We need to be there and be supportive in any way that we can. Right?
Yes.
Now, I didn't write down the scripture, but, you know, there's a scripture that says, there's wisdom in many counselors. And when people are together, they're stronger. Don't you feel stronger if you have
buddies beside you?
Yeah.
Yes. I remember I was, now this is going back a number of years. When I was a teenager, I was at a dance, and there was a little altercation, and not with me, but there was a fight brewing, and I was afraid I was going to get caught up into it, but there was all kinds of people, friends, that were right there, and it ended up stopping what could have been a very, very bad situation, because there was enough people that agreed together that they're not going to let this guy get taken out, right?
I grew up outside of Philly, outside of Philadelphia, and it was where I lived was pretty safe, but where we went to the dance was not. And you know, those things happen. It was a adverse time, and it was good that there were other people around. I'll just leave it like that. I mentioned at the Heritage Park thing. I mentioned this scripture. Isaiah 65:8 says there is a blessing in the cluster. You know, when you can grab a bunch of grapes and eat them, as compared to just one, there's a blessing just in the flavor and in the amount, right, of the blessing you can have in a cluster. Plus, that cluster has the blessing in it that can feed you longer, right? All right, so I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 17. So that's back a book from the Ecclesiastes. It says this. It's Proverbs 17.
A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Mm-hmm. You get that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A brother is born for adversity. In other words, someone that's closer than a friend. It's good. Those are the kind of people you want, because you can rely on them in times of adversity. And I want to say to everybody here, we're going to need to rely on one another to have a good outcome as we go through the time of adversity that's out here in front of us. We're going to need one another. There was something that was on TV this morning that I thought, wow, this is fantastic. There were four sisters lived in separate places. You saw that this morning. Four sisters. They lived in their own apartments, young ladies. They each had accumulated quite a bit of debt. $182,000 in debt. And that was 18 months ago. They were $182,000 in debt altogether. And so they decided that they were going to do something about it to get out of debt. And so what they did was, instead of living in separate homes, they bought a home together, or rented a home, I don't know what it was. But they were together in a home. That saved them a certain amount of money per month, because now they were helping one another. They had a common bank account, and they helped each other pay off each other's debts. How about that? And they divvied out little tiny bits of money for spending money over a 2-week period. It was like $75 for 2 weeks. And
they got rid of the TV.
They got rid of some some things. They disciplined themselves for 18 months. After 18 months, that's a year and a half. In a year and a half, they had wiped out the $182,000 of debt. They did that because they saw the benefit in being together rather than being separate. Isn't that amazing? I was just flabbergasted. Wow. Gosh, if they can get rid of $182,000, maybe I can get rid of my debt. Because if it isn't
$182,000, who are you
going to
move in with?
Huh? That's what this whole message is about. Sylvia, that's what the whole message is about. I'm trying. It's a long approach to who's going to let Kathy and I move in with you. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that this is what we need to do necessarily, but as things happen, if things become more adverse, we might want to think, can we do something that where we can join together a little more and help one another out? You know?
Yeah.
Think about that. You know? And don't be so proud that you wouldn't go and say, hey, I need some help. Can you help me? Right?
Hey,
a brother is born for adversity.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Sure.
The more you've been talking, this has been coming to me. As we help each other out, the world will be watching. And the Bible says that they will know us by our love for each other.
Yes.
And if we can remember God in everything and not get mad at them, but just be loving no matter what, I think we'd make a great one.
Yeah.
That's
right. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to read you. I'm not going to give you the scripture verses, but I want to talk about scriptures that are in the. All of what I did here was in the Old Testament. I want to read to you some New Testament scriptures. I'm just going to zip right through them and say scriptures that deal with being together. Okay, here we are. We're going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're not going separately.
Yeah.
We're going up together.
Yes.
Look around. I mean, these are the people that you're going to see on the way up.
Like it or not.
Like it or not. You know, it isn't like we're all going to stand in line right here and one by one. No, we're going up together because that's the way God wanted us to relate to one another. He wants us to be brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, right? That we're going to go up together. So I wanted to start it off with that. All right, so how about this? We're to be knit together in love.
Yes.
And that's happening, isn't it? We're going to be knit together in the body, holding to the head, which is Christ. We are to strive together for the faith. You and I are not striving on our own. The scripture tells us we're to strive together for the faith. That means that we're communicating with one another. When we have questions, that we go and talk to one another, we get advice. There's wisdom in many counselors, right? We need each other. And I'm sure there are some people here that, you know, I don't need anybody. Look at me, I'm strong and I can do... No. Every single person here needs the other people here. We are to be fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies in the body. We are built together as a habitation of God in the Spirit.
Yeah.
This is how God's doing it. He's doing it. He's dealing with us as individuals, but he's also dealing with us together. There's a scripture, Psalm 27:5. It says that in the time of trouble, he will hide us in his tabernacle. In the time of trouble, he will hide us in his tabernacle. This temple. You know we are the temple of God? So there's that one aspect where it's us and him. But there's this other aspect of being hidden in Christ, having our refuge in Christ with Jesus, but also because we're part of the body. You get that? We don't want to be doing something different. We don't want to be at cross currents with God. We want to hear this, ask God to make it more understandable to our spirits, and be able to move accordingly. We need each other. And you know, when we're going through a bad time, or we slip into some sin and we get disgusted with ourselves, or we feel ashamed and we go, oh, I can't go to church. Look at me, I can't go to church. That's the very time we need the help of one another. Isn't that right? We're supposed to be helping together by prayer. And the last one here. We are to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, there's the hardest thing of all. But that's what we should be shooting for. All right, I'm going to close the message. Hebrews chapter 10. I've read this before a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to finish this message again with this as a reiteration of something that the Lord just seems to be talking to us about over and over again. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And it says this: let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day of the Lord coming like a freight train?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Really? Do you really think that that's true?
Yes.
The day of the Lord's coming really fast now? All kinds of things, all the slow down things that held back evil. Don't you see that evil is abounding like crazy? What used to be thought of as evil is thought of as good. Look at the people that run the nations of the world. They're all corrupt. They got their own agenda to make money and to have power. There's not too many out there that don't have that in their heart. So, the day is approaching, darn fast. And if that's true, and it says that we're not supposed to forsake getting ourselves together, and all the more so as we see the day approaching, let's ask God, well, how's that all going to happen? I need to communicate more. I need to get together more with others in the body. When something's going on, I'm not going to just deal with it in my house. I'm going to actually make a phone call. I'm going to say, could you pray for me about this? You know? Yeah? Because I think we still feel like I can't bother with the elders about this, or I can't bother so-and-so by calling them. They got their own troubles. They don't need to hear mine. Do those thoughts ever go through any of your minds? And yet, God wants us to be together. We don't have to bear all kinds of deep things that should stay within a family or a couple or whatever. I'm not talking about everything. But we sure can reach out and ask for prayer for things, especially medical things. You know, people want to be of help. You still make that decision. If it's, we're not saying that we need to know everything about everybody's life. I'm not saying that one single bit. But you know, I think we need to reach out more to each other. And that you believe that too?
Yeah.
I think we'll be able to give encouragement and a prayer of faith for healing or whatever that is going to help us and keep us through whatever time of adversity that's out here in front of us. And if there's financial situations where the church can help, we'll help. We will. You know? You guys are givers. We got all kinds of money. Anybody need any? Well, see Reggie after. Don't come to me about that. You go to Reggie.
So, that's the kind of people we want to be.
And God wants us to be that way, and He set it up for it to be that way. Now, while the shaking is going on, we're not just off in a corner getting jostled around. No, we're together, and we're stronger. Two is better than one. Yeah, because we're going to be together, and we're going to be together more as things get worse. Because they are going to get worse before they get better. Whatever you hear on TV about, oh, things are changing around, the economy is we're out of the recession. Yeah, and if you listen to most of the newscasts, we're out of the... Everything's really going along good. Well, just look at the stock market. Look how it's booming. Right? We're up at what? What's the number? 16,000? The volume? What is it?
16,102.38.
Yeah. You know why you guys know why the stock market's doing so well in an economy? It doesn't make sense, does it? That the economy is the way it is, the most unemployment ever, and the stock market's, you know, up there in 16,000, 17,000 in volume. You know why? You know where most of the money that for the quantitative easing, you know, the money that the Fed just printed up trillions of dollars, you know where most of that trillions of dollars went? To the stock market. To keep this false picture that everything's going well. Because politicians don't like it if things aren't going well. Because then they're going to get taken out of office, and they want to stay in office. Because they like the power and they like the money that comes. You know, is that true?
Yep.
Sad to say, that's the condition.
Redistributing the wealth.
Yeah. Yeah. The rich. Yeah, the rich are getting richer, and yeah. Okay. We won't get into. We're not getting into politics. We're not going to do that. You might have a whole different idea about things, but I'll tell you what. If you actually do the research, if you really look at some facts, you're going to come to the same conclusions that I have. I know you will. Because the facts are the facts. You know? But you look at that. But outside of that, let's be together. Let's be there for each other. Okay? No matter what we believe about other things. We believe in the Lord. Amen. And we know He's coming back, and we know that He wants us to gather together. Amen. Amen. So Lord, in times of adversity, Lord, I pray that we would be, we would have wisdom. We would have wisdom to reach into You and to trust You. And Lord, that we would also have the wisdom to gather together and not try to be all by ourselves, or let the enemy cut us away from each other, that He would try to find some way to divide us from one another. Lord, we're not going to let that happen. We look to You, we trust You, and Lord, we look to one another to be that brother that's there in time of adversity. Thank You, Jesus, today. Amen. Amen.
All right.
Dear Jesus, we just love you and thank you. We thank you for all the blessings you do give us, the joys that you do give us, the joy of even though Robin's going through all this, that she's still feeling good, and the joy of everybody coming together and just lifting each other up, and just the blessing that you've given this church and the heart that you've given everybody in here, there's the, to reach into each other and lift each other up. We just thank you for that. We thank you for Beverly, like Beverly's saying, just having friends that can go and do things with you and just kind of enjoy life together, and it's such a beautiful thing. But we have these very big concerns and we have big prayers that we're praying for right now, and we lift up this fellow that Kelly knows, Joe's family, the officer that was shot. We don't understand all this stuff. You know, this world is kind of falling apart at times, and you know, things are going bad at times, and we don't understand it, but we put all our faith in you, and we just ask that you be with this officer's family. Actually, all the officers, we just know that, you know, that every profession has good ones and bad ones and all that jazz that goes on, but we just lift up the officers as a whole. We just ask that you protect them in this time of turmoil. It's just unbelievable that this mentality is coming around right now. So we just lift that whole situation up in your hands. The same thing with any new officers coming in, like Lorraine's friend Kip. We just ask that as he gets into this, that he doesn't get discouraged by these things going on, and that his heart is right for this type of job. And so we just ask that you be with any new officers, especially that fella. We lift up Eva Hawkins to you right now, who's having trouble with her legs and can't walk. And so we ask for a miracle that whatever's going on in that can be healed, and she can walk normally and just be able to function and get back home. We lift up all the Christians that are just being persecuted. I mean, we're blessed to be in this area and haven't had to deal with that very much. And we get offended if somebody just says something bad to us, but we don't even know what it's like to be going around in fear of your life all the time. And so we lift these Christians up around the world, brothers and sisters of ours. Brothers and sisters of ours.
Yes.
In your name. We just lift them up to you right now as a group of believers, that we can come together. Nations come together and protect these people. That the governments of the world will change their mindset on all this and address these issues. And that the people who are trying to help these Christians out there, putting their lives at harm's way to take these people out and keep them safe. Keep them moving forward. Keep them encouraged. We just lift all that up in your name. We lift up Rowdy and his wife. We just know that she's in a nursing home. She's doing a little better, so we thank you for that. But people get lonely, and we can't let that happen. We need to be there for them, visit them, help them through tough times, like Malcolm was preaching. And we just pray that we can do that for him and his family. We lift up Sue, who's going for a new job and is in a bad situation. You know, it's a tough situation because of not being able to be there for her kids. She's trying to do this all on her own. We just lift up that this new job can allow her to be there in a better position for her little family. So we just lift her up right now, too. We lift up Joe and this situation with the knee brace. You know, people come into our lives for a purpose. And for some reason, that veteran was sitting there. And for some reason, she saw that knee brace. And you're putting this all in play. So we just lift this up and know that something good is going to come out of this. And maybe it's a knee brace that Joe can use. So we just ask that you shed some light on this situation. That you guide him down the right path on this whole situation. We lift up Raymond always. He's struggling at times. He's got so many things going on in his life, and And we just lift them up today. We lift up these test results that whatever come of these results, that we can understand what's going on with them a little bit more. And if further testing needs to be done, that something shows up and tells him why he's going through what he's going through. So we just lift them up today. We lift up Louise, who's had this deafness for 6 months in her ear. And so we pray right now that a miracle happen and that deafness gets resolved right now. That you're a God of healing, a God of mercy, a God that can do anything he wants. And so we just ask that you work on this ear issue right now, and that the specialist, if needed, can give some guidance on that. And we just thank you again. As Joe has said, he thanks everybody in the church, and I think we can all understand the thanks that we can give to one each other. And we just thank you for blessing us this way. And we just love you and thank you. In your name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to close down the service. And we're going to play that song,
The Deer.
Right? As the deer. And anybody who wants to go up and sing, Crystal asks you to go up and sing.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.